Greetings and welcome to Mount Olympus. I am Hercules Invictus, and tonight on Hercules and the Space Gods, I'm proud to bring you Star Center Olympus, Unarian Revelations. And I'm very happy to be speaking with Celeste and Jack Appel. Our topic for tonight is the quest for immortality. Wow, that is quite a topic. I can't wait for you to share Unarius's insights into this topic.
Hi, Hercules.
Hello, how are you, Celeste?
I'm doing well.
I'm really happy to hear that. Jack, long time no hear from. How are you?
I'm doing great, thanks.
He's enjoying retirement.
Oh, wow. Are you enjoying your retirement?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, I've come to understand that if you love your job, you may not like retirement, but that wasn't the issue with me, so I love retirement.
I found that when I retired, it gave me time to really think about what I wanted to do and then to find ways to do it, and now I had that extra time to do it in.
Well, we certainly have as volunteers for Unarius wonderful opportunities to give up self and use the talents that we have and develop new ones and learn new things. So it's not like we're sitting around.
No,
So what came to mind about suggesting this topic is I had been reading last week online news articles, and there was an interview with a Nobel Prize winning biologist. I don't know if I pronounce his name right, Venki Ramakrishnan. And he has a new book called Why We Die, The New Science of Aging and the Quest for Immortality. And he was interviewed, and just reading it made me think how the Earth world people have things backwards, that they want to stay eventually longer, extend life in the physical body, or even eventually have immortality. There's actually some billionaire people in techs that are trying to develop methods, you know, whether it's freezing yourself or implanting your brain in a hard drive to then implant it in a new body in the future, or in a robotic body. But they have it backwards, because we're truly spiritual beings or energy beings, and this is not our home, a physical body. We've like borrowed it to learn in the schoolroom of the earth, and that our ultimate goal is to progress, to learn so much that we no longer have to incarnate in physical bodies, and that we can continue to live, not just go in between lives, but we can continue to live in spiritual worlds and continue to progress into higher and higher spiritual worlds and grow and learn, and then have a choice as to whether we would incarnate into earth world as masters have on this planet from the time of Buddha and Krishna and you know, Jesus of Nazareth, Socrates, all the great masters have developed, so that they didn't really have to come back to an earth plane, but they came here to live among us directly to try to serve as an example and bring their teachings to us. So prompted a lot of thinking about immortality, and so I'll let Jack say something about this point.
Yes, one of the things I have read that I think is very interesting about immortality is one of the descriptions that one of our co-founders, Ernest Norman, says that Unarius is a method of, I don't want to say conditioning, but it's enlightening your consciousness so that in the future you don't have to live in a physical world or in a physical body. So basing that on evolution, a spiritual evolution, as you are progressing along and learning, we're being prepared for the future. When we go through our learnings, you could call them, you know, after understanding about past life therapy and what you do to heal yourself. Every time you heal yourself, you get a little more free of the physical bonds that tie you to this planet and or to a physical world. So, yeah. That's about what I have.
That's fascinating. And from my view, my point of view, if we're spiritual beings, then we're immortal already. So becoming immortal in this physical body would like getting stuck in a video game or being stuck in a dream and not being able to wake up.
Yeah, really good point.
It's interesting how this kind of higher consciousness of the infinite, it could be called, is like all around us and right in front of us. But we, most people don't understand or recognize the fact that it's an ever recreative energy, and that it's always changing. And we're no different. We're part of the infinite, so we're always going through the changes, and we're, you know, so. But to not acknowledge it, I think, is something that it would be wonderful if people would acknowledge. In other words, it would be great if they didn't, if they quit stopping acknowledging the fact that you're part of a much greater whole, I guess you can call it, and become one, you know, who is aware of this infinite and how it works. And as a result, you're far more in tune with the way the universe works and how you fit in with it.
That to me is the ultimate also, to look behind the veil and to realize that you're living a greater life, and in your cosmic life, in your spiritual life, this lifetime is but a day, or not even that, that you continuously experience and you grow and you move around from place to place. There's a process of development, and you return to the source eventually. And along the way, there are many adventures and many things to do. And the closer you get to the source, the more you want others to wake up and realize their source as well. So Unarius has always done an awesome job of sharing this information and using every system or every platform available to make sure that for those looking for this information, it's very easy to find.
Well, we have a wonderful source of information about the inner world. Some of the very first volumes channeled by Ernest Norman, he and his wife at the time, Ruth Norman, who later we call by her spiritual name, Uriel, were responsible for, he was responsible for the core texts. There were 17 of them that he channeled, and she was the polarity and helpmate in that she learned how to transcribe and got them published and then found people initially to market to, and then the students multiplied over many years. But what he initially channeled was a series of books called The Pulse of Creation. And these books describe the seven spiritual planes of Unarius that used to be called Shambhala, and now in this scientific age, Unarius, because it's an acronym for Universal Articulate Interdimensional Understanding of Science. But the books are a wonderful introduction to the spiritual world, because how can you go to these worlds after you die if you have no concept of them or understanding of them? So the more you learn about them, the more you make yourself relative to them. And then even before you would so-called die, which is really just a change frequency, your consciousness still exists, but in a different form, not in the physical body, then you have the opportunity to make this inner contact through your own higher consciousness that we call the super consciousness with the advanced beings that reside on these higher planes that don't need to come back to the material world and serve as guides and teachers. And they've been called angels. We refer to them as the Mary's Brotherhood and Sisterhood. And the first book is The Voice of Venus, and then the voice of Eros, voice of Hermes, voice of Orion, voice of Muse, Unarius, and Elysium. And each plane has a specific function, but they're all integrated together, whether it be Venus for healing, Eros for science, Unarius leadership. And there is actually a progression within that spiritual plane as well. There's subplanets where the folks who are like ourselves, who are just starting this more spiritual path, Plebeian, can incarnate. And that's where we truly learn. And we learn new information about ourselves, life, how energy functions, and how we function as energy beings. And all the great artists and masters, we're just now reading about that in our book on that subject about the spiritual planes and use and how it's tied to Eros, because there's a science in all the arts, whether you're an artist or, you know, you're a musician. And so all these great masters, Beethoven, Bach, Shakespeare, they've all learned their so-called art on these inner worlds, and now they can reside there permanently. They could choose to incarnate here over shadow physical body if they wanted, but they're also working with younger souls for them to incarnate back on this world and countless other earth worlds to bring a progressive form of the arts. And so that's what we were talking about, that we're looking forward to happening, and also that all of us are trying to develop that connection to that creative part of ourselves. And Jack mentioned working with past life therapy, and that's part of the key, is overcoming the blocks and shocks of past lives that are causing us not to have that strong connection that everyone has to the creative source that we call infinite creative intelligence.
And our creativity is our most divine skill or attribute, because something that exists in the mind from other realms is translated through the artist or through the creator into something that exists here. And if we look around, even where we're sitting or standing right now, everything we're surrounded with is the product of imagination. You know, somebody thought it up, and then people made it, and then we kind of like collage it. You know, we pick and choose what resonates with us and arrange it. But it's all the product of imagination, all the product of creativity, and some of it inspired. Like the Unarius books are certainly inspired, and Pulse of Creation is among my favorite Unarius books.
Yeah. Our other co-founder, Ruth Norman, or Uriel, as we like to call her, has since those books were channeled, let me start back with that. We have a view of channeling as it being a good thing. I know there's some varying opinions out there about where, you know, mostly where it comes from or what comes through, or is it valid, or is this wasting my time to hear this or whatever. When you see the information that comes through, when you're connected to the right place or a higher source rather than some lower place, then you see, you know, that there's the proof. But like I say, we've always encouraged individuals within the group to channel. And I noticed that there's one thing, and a little, I think it's not even 10 minutes long. It's something that Uriel did. It's called the principle of channeling. And we use it sometimes to make a program. A video, yes, I'm sorry, I forgot that. We'll sometimes put it in, mix it in with another video, one of our videos we sell. But she talks about how there isn't a single thing that was brought through, whether it's music, art, literature, et cetera, that wasn't channeled. It's all from, you know, of course she's speaking about the more inspired things, but that, yeah, these are all, you know, coming true, and not a product of the physical person. He's merely channeling. Well, I shouldn't say merely. But he's channeling all these wonderful works in from a higher realm, and in many cases, that's what they came to do. They were put here, or chose to come here, with the mindset of I'm going to leave, may not have a conscious knowledge of their purpose, but their purpose would be, for example, Beethoven, to leave elements of that higher consciousness from the high, or that higher realm in the form of, you know, the masterworks that he left. And the same thing would go for like Da Vinci, et cetera. Just go down the list of all the great stuff. And I like to say that you can feel it when you're looking at it or listening to it or whatever. That's how you know it's from a higher realm. Does it make you, does it uplift you to look at it? Does it inspire you? Or you just look at it and go, wow, there's something about that painting. I just can't put my finger on it. Wow, you know, you just want to look at it. No, keep on looking at it. But, that's an interesting concept that if people were more aware of that, it would probably be more successful. And it's interesting that, writer's block, for example, you have to kind of get yourself out of the way if you really want to bring through something. And I think writer's block is an example of the ego. Somebody has done some great things and then maybe they've got some notoriety and then they are unable to bring things through. And then it's commonly called writer's block. And then maybe sometimes I've even heard of it, even maybe up to 10 years of nothing being able to be done. And they finally get deflated enough and then things start to come back and come through again. Yeah, that's all part of that concept, that consciousness of making a contact. You know, the ego is a lower form of mentality. I mean, we need it, but when it comes to a higher world and making that contact, you know, it gets in the way and it slows down, any inflow or stops it.
I can believe that.
Getting back to the books that specifically relate to the higher worlds, we have another one called Rainbow Bridge to the Inner World, and there's other spiritual planes, planets, that aren't part of the seven planes of Unirius, and this one is Luxana, and it's a wonderful book to read because it describes the students in classrooms there that have recently passed over from Earth worlds and what they have to learn. Like one of them, I remember the students all dressed in like native costume, like they were Indian and Indian costume, and they still have this really strong connection to the Earth worlds in this respect. So then they're learning their path of continuity with that and how eventually they need to let go of that to have an understanding of life in a bigger picture, in order to progress and move on and not keep coming back in the same earth patterns, lifetimes. And Uriel wrote a booklet, it's small, and it's called Your Encounter with Life, Death, and Immortality in the late 70s. And it's a wonderful introduction for people to Unirius because it touches on the great fear of death that people have, that there's no such thing as death. You don't have to be afraid. Like we said, it's just a change in consciousness. And she mentions the work that was more relevant at that time of Raymond Moody about near-death experiences and talks about other things related to what happens when you die. And it was such a taboo. Well, finally, it's becoming more mainstream. It's mainly just parapsychologists that started studying near-death experiences in the 70s and some cardiologists, because a lot of people that had cardiac arrest had near-death experiences. And they were basically studying that, near-death experience can prove that dying is not the end of your being, that consciousness can independently of the brain. And actually, it's pretty amazing. There was a special that was just on our local public access or TV station. And one in 10 people now worldwide is claiming a near-death experience. That's quite high.
Wow, that is
most
high.
Positive experience, right, where they have the tunnel of light and maybe they're greeted by relatives or whatever, the higher being, whatever form it will take because of their beliefs, whether they're religious and saw that person as Jesus or, and oftentimes there's some tremendous teaching they receive telepathically. They feel this tremendous, that is one of the universal things, they feel this tremendous love, like there's no judgment, there's just this love energy, so that they don't necessarily want to come back. But often then they're shown maybe that there's still a plan for them. They need to come back. They aren't finished. There's things they need to still learn and accomplish on this plane of existence. So to me, that is part of that research that now that more mainstream scientists are into it, because they have to have that kind of scientific proof that will open the door more for people not to be so afraid of death and not to be a taboo for people to even talk about it. And one of the things that Emerius teaches is that the brain is definitely not the seat of consciousness. The brain is like an integrator, a transceiver of information. So that is something that the parapsychologists now and the new science of death are starting to realize, that consciousness exists after death and that it's not centered in the brain, and that consciousness is actually a part of the bigger whole. And that is exactly what Emerius believes. So that's fantastic that is starting to happen now.
Yeah, that's amazing, and it is fantastic. Are a lot of people aware of that study? How can we make people more aware of this?
You mean specifically what Emerius?
Yes, of course. But it's based on something that's actually going on in our world that people can refer to, and it supports what Unarius has been saying. Like, for instance, the fact that the higher beings can take whatever form they need to in order to communicate with us in circles that don't understand how these beings work. The beings are being deceptive, and they're disguising themselves, and they're hiding who they are, and it's very suspicious. And that's how they're interpreting that. When the beings themselves will tell you that they're appearing in whatever form would work for you, whether it's family or religious figures, whatever you feel most receptive to, and it's a form of communication. It's not an attempt to deceive.
Yeah, because everything is based on your consciousness, you know, your belief system, your understanding. So they couldn't come in their true self as a plane being that has no physical form, because that wouldn't even maybe be recognized to some people or be a shock. So then they have to come in a more familiar form. And then, of course, to have relatives that have passed on to the other side greet you, assuming, of course, the relatives that you have had a good relationship, right? See them again. You know, I think that is an important bridge as well to reach out to people.
Yeah, and I think I have an example. It's really interesting how the brothers tried to contact, or the higher realms tried to contact me, but before I was a student, it was way back. Though I've been a student for almost 35 years, but I had an uncle. And I really, he was just a pleasant, wonderful fella. He had, I respected him because he was a translator in Europe, and he spoke like 11 languages, because the countries are close together over there, and it's pretty typical to know at least a few. But he was also an artist, and he went over, you know, he got ill and passed, and I don't know how long it was after he had passed, but in sleep state, I had a dream where I was just looking at the sky. I didn't see anything else but the sky. And and like a door opened up, but it was like the sky slid open up to the side of the door, and it was all white with like a white light out of it. And then my uncle stood in the door looking at me in his usual smile and just waved. And that was it. Then he went back and the door closed. Just a short little teeny thing. And I just thought that's so cool. I want to learn how to paint so I can paint that. You know, I really do. But that was just an example, sure, and I've had a number of them. But, yeah, that to me was something that, now why do I think it was the brothers or the higher being? Because it left such an indelible memory. You know, I just, in other words, it touched me. And I'm serious. I really would love to learn how to paint, to be able to paint something like that and put that down on canvas. It'd be great for me.
Go ahead, Hercules. Sorry.
I'm sure your painting would come out wonderful. Unarius has always encouraged people to experiment with and pursue different types of creative forms and expression. And what you described sounds like it would make a wonderful painting or image.
So I'm sure that there are people that we all know, and particularly as Unarians, that have had contacts with friends and family that have gone over to the other side in dream state. And I had an experience like that. My dad passed in 1994. He had a rare form of throat cancer, and by the time they discovered it, it was too late to operate because it potentially could have damaged the main organ in his neck, blood vessel. So he had this really powerful radiation therapy, and it was kind of experimental, and it had to sign a form, and it caused, within a few years, it got rid of the tumor, but it caused radiation poisoning, where actually had deterioration of his jawbone. He couldn't eat right. Saliva was too much, and it was pretty miserable. And he had to have a piece of skin grafted from his shoulder to cover up this hole that grew in his cheek from the deteriorating tissue that was happening, you know, where it had been too much of the radiation. So about 7 years after he got an infection, we went in the hospital, and he never came out, and he passed over. And I had not had the type of really close relationship with him as an adult, but as a child I had. And I think it was about 2-3 months later, Jack and I, of all things, were camping in the desert. Springtime in the desert's a wonderful time to go camping with wildflowers, etc. And we stupidly pitched our big, huge walk-in tent because Jack liked that size tent and he didn't want to feel confined.
Well, let's come back.
It's called a wash, like it's a canyon. And if there's a lot of rain, water can actually flood, like flash flood, down into the canyon. But the other thing that happens that we discovered after we fell asleep, when the wind picks up, which it does in the desert, it comes down that canyon, curves around, and builds, and it's like a train whistle. And then it would hit the tent and shake it. So not the best night's sleep. And I'm not normally a morning person, but I woke up at about sunrise, and I felt fantastic. And I'd had this dream that I had this ladder, and I thought what was in it was a will from my father. Of all things, we couldn't find that he'd written out a will and didn't have an estate. And when I opened it up, instead, what it basically said is, I love you.
Aww.
And that meant a lot, because my dad was brought up by family who never said, I love you. And so was my mother. Can you imagine that? It was just kind of understood. And so I don't know, I think toward the end of his life he might have said it, but it was not something that he said. But what I realized is that he'd been on the other side for 2-3 months, that he was communicating with me from the other side. And it was such a beautiful experience the course as the Aeneas student, I knew that when you pass over, it's not the end of life, and that whatever plane he was relative to, that he was going to go there to grow and learn and progress to prepare for his next reincarnation. But it was such a wonderful validation for me to have that experience.
That sounds wonderful. In antiquity, they believed, at least the ancient Greeks believed, that the land where the dead go when, you know, they first leave here, it borders the land of the living and the realm of dream. So that's why people see apparitions sometimes, and that's why people can still dream of loved ones who are no longer here.
I think Jack has.
Yeah, I had one with my dad. My dad had gotten cancer, and I know he wasn't particularly active at all in any kind of anything about, you know, what he, afterlife, I guess you could say, you know, not even a religion, you know. And I know I tried talking to him a little bit about it, and he said, that's interesting, you know. But anyway, he went, so he passed. And it was quite a while. It was over, it was at least 6 or 8 months, maybe. I was a little concerned, you know, because, you know, I'm aware of, if you have no personal awareness of the higher realms, where do you go, you know? So I was just a little concerned about how he's doing, you know. So the only way to put it. And I remember I had a dream with my dad. Where I was walking around the house, and I walked into a kitchen, and there's my dad sitting at the kitchen table. And it was interesting. It was like such a surprise to me because he looked 100% normal. I was like, Dad, you know, so like, you know, surprises, you know, it surprises in my voice. I'm like, Dad, you're all right. He goes, yeah, I'm fine, you know. And I know we talked a little bit, but the main thing I remember is he said, don't worry about me. They're taking good care of me. So it's just a short little dream, but it made me feel a lot better.
Yeah, that's very powerful.
I like that part. I like that part. They're taking good care of me. Yeah. So I'm hoping by my contact with the higher realms that he got help. And it's, you know, it's been written in the books, you know, they say that, you know, your association with your family members is benefited by your contact and knowledge and working towards finding the higher or understanding a higher realm. Because, you know, when we say quest for immortality, that is really what it is. It's learning to where you would possibly go next time you're out of the physical. And you have to have an understanding of it first. You're not just going to get thrown into it. You got to understand the way it is to, you know, use your consciousness a little or a lot more. Because, you know, you're not going to have a physical or physical anatomy. So, and that's interesting, an interesting proposition, you know, because we talk a lot, but, you know, it's hard to change. And one of the aspects of learning of a higher realm or a higher consciousness is learning how to leave the old lower states of understanding and subscribing to the new higher ones. So, you know, now that, what does that mean? So say you're a very, you know, religious, you know, and, you know, God, or the concept of God, you know, God is, you know, we're not, we're taught that God is actually the infinite. It's the infinite creative substance, and it's in everything. So that, you know, there's people that firmly believe God is, you know, kind of reminiscent of the kings of the old civilization, you know, or benevolent king. But see, when it's an energy, it's not an individual. So it is an intelligent source, you know, but it's not a person. And it's not judgmental. It has, you know, no emotions. Operates on principle. So, that's just one thing to have to try and change, you know. So just add a million other things to that, you know. So it's not an over proposition, that's for sure.
And Denarius shows you how to become an energy being, or how to become aware of the part of you that is already an energy being.
Well, we kind of say we are already an energy being, and we just want more of our being to be the spiritual self or the psychic, the higher self.
So what we have the opportunity to do with using the Unarius principles and applying them specifically through past life therapy is to recreate our true energy being, our psychic self that we've created through thousands of past life experiences, thoughts, and emotions. And that's how we progress, so that we don't come back, like I said before, and keep repeating the same experiences. So someone, for example, has some disease or is in a wheelchair or whatever, that they can understand maybe this lifetime they aren't totally cured, but they've received that information and help between lives with the teachers to see the past life continuity, and then they need to come back in the physical to where it actually occurred, the earth plane, and recreate that experience, whether you incarnate with family or friends or work associates or whatever. And then when you're able to actually see the past life specifically and accept it and have a healing and have remorse, and these spiritual beings work with us and they change the bias of these negative waveforms that store the information related to this experience in our psychic or energy body to a positive plus, and that becomes part of our super consciousness or higher self, and that's how we evolve. So as we progress along the spiritual path, we don't alone choose exactly how our life's going to unfold in next lifetime or who we incarnate with family, but we work with our teachers and our guides to help us to pick so-called situations that we need to experience, life situations, to be able to have these re-experiences and to turn around this negative karma. And sometimes that means incarnating into families where it's not what you'd consider ideal. It can be a very dysfunctional family, but these are people that you have tremendous karma with from past lives. You know, maybe it could be that someone that's your mother or father, they were actually an opponent on the battlefield, and they were not always positive lifetimes. So we learn in this way through our interaction with other people. And Uriel really emphasized, we were talking about having these dreams with our father, both Jack and I, who is on the other side, that was important in her book, Your Encounter with Life, Death, and Immortality, to let people go, that if you try to hold on to them, that could, especially if they're not as developed a soul, that could pull them to want to come back to the earth plane or hold on and not get the full benefit of moving on in the inner world to have those healing, teaching experiences wherever they're relative to. So important to realize that this is actually congratulations that they've made a step up, they've graduated to a new maybe step in their evolution, and that we can have positive consciousness over that to help them, because we're all interrelated with our thoughts and our consciousness, rather than try to hold on to them like somebody who, say, a widow who's lost their spouse and has a hard time continuing on and maybe pays to go, you know, to a psychic and trying to still have that connection. And there's a reason for that, too, to learn, you know, why can't you let go of that soul? There's maybe guilt from a past lifetime that attracted you to in the first place that you don't understand. And if you can understand that, then you can be free and that person can be free, too, to move on.
And the opportunity to gain those insights and that knowledge has always been available throughout history. And Unarius is the keeper of that flame in the here and now, and we're very grateful for all the work that you do.
So I wanted to also bring up, we talk about the 33 or 32 worlds, Earth's to be the 33rd, and the Interplanetary Confederation, the physical world that exists in our Milky Way galaxy that were contacted by Uriel in 1973 through subchannels, and we have wonderful collection of those contacts available to listen to and transcribe to read in books. But all of these, for the most part, I think there were only a couple that were so advanced, had major problems on the Earth worlds, and some a lot worse than ours because they developed technology so much beyond what we have now, and they were actually at a stalemate, or they had a major issue happen because of the technology. And we can learn a lot about trying to search for extending life and trying to become immortal from these Earth worlds. And one of these, let's start with the present. Everyone knows Elon Musk, and if you've read anything about him, he was fascinated by science fiction, and he was an avid science fiction reader when he was a child. And I think that's prompted some of his ideas of what he's trying to accomplish now, and with the Neuralink, where he's trying to, and he has already gotten approval by FDA, and they put implant, right, wired into the brain in someone who's quadriplegic, and that person has begun to be able, through that implant, to use their mind to play chess, for example.
Wow.
But, yeah, I know. And it has a lot of implications for positive things it can help people with, right, in terms of disabilities, but it has a lot of implications of it could be misused. And then you think about from these civilizations where more advanced technology existed, how it potentially was abused. And he's talking about that eventually that you could develop this neural link to allow us to actually store all the memories and our state of consciousness of, quote, the brain in this neural link. In other words, like a hard drive, and that if eventually you couldn't live in the physical body, that this could be transferred to a new physical body or even to a robot. Scary thing, huh?
Yes, very.
Yeah, well, one of the series of science fiction books is called The Culture. I'm not familiar with it. It was in this article, and they had a neural lace. And this is exactly what happened. And they implanted a device when children were young to allow communication interface with machines, and it stored all their, it was by Lane Banks is the author, to store all their memories and brain state. And that was a form of mind uploading, right? How you would have immortality. Well, some of these planets that Uriel contacted in 1973 actually were moving toward this. And it's something they had to learn was not a positive thing. One of them in particular had extended their life by, that was called a Planet Doll, and the scientists that were trying to get power didn't want to so-called die and to extend their life. They were able to, when an individual is dying or dead, to telepathically connect with the consciousness of energy of the person that was dying, and to transfer that into an awaiting fetus. So what happened is that the individual barely even went over to this other side or the inner world, and they immediately popped back into a physical body. And that was, they didn't really understand the continuity of life and the inner worlds, and that was not a good thing at all, because then they weren't learning, progressing, because that's where we truly progress, is on the other side in these higher worlds. So it made their whole planet as more of the scientists that were supposed to be developing technology for positive purpose, it made the whole society become stagnant and then not advanced spiritually, because no new information was coming in psychically from the inner dimensions. And there's another one that was Janet Volna, and Tesla was the leader, and he was 700 years old, and he was living in a synthetic body when Uriel contacted him, and he had done the same thing. And that was not something that was done for most of the people on the planet. He was an exception, wanting to extend his life to be of help. But they did the exact same thing. They recorded his basic frequency, and when he so-called died, it was projected forcibly into a synthetic body. But this planet was messing around so much, thinking that the true blueprint of life was in RNA and DNA, so they were trying to genetically manipulate it again to extend life, to improve on, you know, humans. And they didn't understand that the source, the blueprint, is really in the psychic body, the psychic anatomy, and the RNA, DNA is just a connection between the physical body and the two. So they stepped up the person's frequency to an isotopic vibration, which is slightly higher than the normal physical. And when they tried to realign it, what they did is they created monsters that kind of look like from a lizard. They were working with a lizard. They didn't get to experiment on humans, fortunately. And they created a monster that looked like our dinosaur. And they lived in skyscrapers that were like 500 feet tall. And this dinosaur lizard monster was actually taller than the skyscraper.
Wow.
So that's what you don't understand. And what Uriel said is that the monsters were actually lower astral forms, because they were not working with the higher worlds and spirit and these higher beings, that they tuned into the lower worlds and creating these monsters. So she was able to explain what a dire mistake that they had made, and they got a lot of help, all of these planets did, from the lens to begin to understand how they could incorporate the scientific principles of Aeneas in their world, and especially to educate the people and to turn around. And they did, some more quickly than others, and to then use their technology in a positive way, and then to also look for other planets that they could help if they were more developed, especially with spaceships and such, to give of self in that way, instead of just keeping the information to themselves and misusing it.
And we can learn from the mistakes and from the experiences of these other planets and planes, so we don't have to go down the same road again, because...
Yeah, definitely.
And,
yeah, and it all started...
Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was going to say that all the changes on this other world started when they made a higher contact with the higher realms, particularly Uriel in her higher self. And she would dial right into what needed to be done and let the leaders that she was contacting know that this is what you need. And a lot of times she would ask. But so, I mean, I need to clarify that. She would say, this is how you can correct that problem, or what you need to do. And, you know, of course, it was because it was serious, a serious nature of these problems, that's why they interjected. Normally they let you do whatever you find yourself getting yourself into.
The spiritual leader that was a polarity of Uriel, oftentimes they may not have had the answers, but they knew they needed help. And so openly they were requesting for help, and that opened the door. And Uriel was working with her polarity, Michael, who overshadowed Tesla in the 1900s, late 1800s. And he was guiding the contact with the planets from the other side. So between the contacts, she would ask Michael for more information about, gee, how did this happen on this planet? And he would elaborate more and explain, because he was on the other side. Of course, he didn't have the physical limitations that anyone would have here. He could clearly see, along with all the other brotherhood that was working with him, particularly from the scientific plane, to understand what happened, and that the lens would have help for them to turn around what was going on.
And if I remember correctly from my readings, some of these civilizations who were going down these paths had already accessed the lens.
None of them were able to access the lens until they had the mental contact with Uriel. That's what they needed first, to have that mental contact, because she had to polarize. So with her higher consciousness, she projected this huge beam of energy, not to just the spiritual leader polarity for the planet, but the whole planet in sleep state. So they all had a step up in consciousness to be relative to the frequency to get the help. So there were a couple of planets like Shunan that were so advanced that they knew to have a step up, they needed this contact with Uriel. They didn't have the usual physical problems, but they were an exception. Most of the planets were not there, and the polarities had sort of so a lot of them had lost their way. They'd lost that interconnection, so they needed that direct mental contact with Uriel.
And we weren't ready to join the 33 when the time approached. How can we become ready next time?
Earth Biden. Yeah, so we've been invited. You want to say why? Okay, so yeah, actually, when these contacts were made, Earth potentially, it was known as part of the plan to complete the Confederation to be able to work together as a particular unit, and how it's set up interdimensionally, not just physically, that Earth has been invited, and we are the ones that are holding it up, not specifically maybe you, I, and Zach, but the Earth world as a whole. There needs to be more people that are spiritually awakened and ready for a positive change and a new way of life and a new way of doing things, rather than holding on to the old material ways of life. And Jack talked about that, to be open to change.
Yeah. Well, you know, here's another element. How are we going to accept people from other worlds if we can't even accept people down the block? You know,
that's a good point. Yes.
You know, they don't want to come here and be hated or be shot at, you know, or some, you know, they want to obviously be in a positive situation or a positive, I forgot the word, but they want to be in a positive, they want to have the ability to help in a positive fashion. So, yeah, we have to get a little more involved in our understanding that other peoples exist and they're different than us, and that's just part of the infinite. There's a lot more of a difference in the way people look when you get off this planet, that's for sure.
Well, we do have, everyone has ability to have mental openness or communication, and we're fortunate with our ability with our people that are channels and have shown that they can get themselves out of the way to have at least one time a year after our interplanetary conclave of light communication with these more advanced physical people, but more advanced spiritually people on the other 32 worlds. But they're not working alone. When they make that contact with us, they're in contact with the higher brotherhood. It's all working together as a unit. There's really not one individual that's just making the contact.
Yeah, and a lot of times when you're listening to a contact, you can hear a change in the voice.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like a smooth transition from one individual to another, and you can tell. Sometimes it'll get more intense, the higher pitch, you know. Yeah, we've experienced that, and it's real interesting. Just another example of how there's many working as one, really. Yeah, they're trying the unity of consciousness.
And the information that Unarius has given us through these many channels is remarkably consistent over a long period of time.
Well, that reason I believe is because of the energy principles, that they're not changed. They haven't changed. Yeah. And we've found out that they work. You know, when the moderator says you have a aberrated waveform in your consciousness that, and it's expressing itself as a pain in the left side of your ribs, and then you discover through, you know, being helped by the brothers that you were involved in some kind of battle and you got stabbed there. And then when you recognize that that's what the continuity is into the present that's causing that pain, and then it goes away, you have to have the realization. Of course, it's a little more involved, but that's pretty much it, you know. And then you just say, hey, you know, I'm going to say that this works. I'm not going to change that. You know, and so, yeah, we've, like I said, we've been there long enough to see that these things do actually work. These principles they talk about and applying them that the way that they suggest, it definitely works. So that's why we keep on keeping on with the same stuff.
I can vouch for the fact that it works as well. And unfortunately, we're out of time. We just scratched the surface, and I was enjoying listening to both of you share this wisdom. How can people find Unarius and discover more of the wisdom that Unarius preserves and disseminates?
Well, our main website is www.unarius.org. And the books that we mentioned, the Pulse of Creation books, are available on our store. Some of them, two, three of them are now available also as audiobooks with the original recordings from reel to reel from the late 50s cleaned up and available digitally. The book that we mentioned, Your Encounter of Life, Death, and Immortality, it's only $6, small paperback. It's on our store. And there's also a wonderful video by that same name with Uriel being interviewed in the late 70s when that book came out, talking about what the book's about. And that video is on our Vimeo channel. And there's information that's in the Infinite Concept of Cosmic Creation about the spiritual worlds. Ernest Norman was taken there as a tour, and beautiful descriptions of them. That is available as the original recording with graphics put to it as video, and people can go to our Vimeo channel for lessons 7 and 8. So those are some specific things. And then, of course, we also have the YouTube channel, Unarius33, and Facebook and Instagram, and we have our own podcast now, Pathways to Enlightenment, past episodes of your podcast that we've been doing for, 6 years with you, Hercules?
Yeah.
7 years? Well,
yes.
I think at least probably 3 years of those podcasts, maybe four, are on our website under Media Podcast, and then our podcasts that we've done are there as well. So there's a lot of information, a lot of it there's no charge for, to explore what Unarius is about and to discover that we're all on this path as spiritual beings and our quest for immortality and our pathway to the stars.
Thank you so very much, Celeste and Jack. This was an awesome topic, and you've given me much to meditate upon, and I thank you so very much. I'm looking forward to our next conversation, and please give my love to all in El Cajon and beyond.
Okay, and thank you. We greatly appreciate it, Abel. get involved in your podcast. So thank you very much as well.
Thank you, Hercules.
My pleasure. And thanks to a wonderful audience. Until next time, joyous journeys and amazing adventures. Good night, everybody.